This episode is sponsored by Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management, experienced wealth managers who go above and beyond to guide and support you. Can-do is more than just an attitude. It's navigating today for a brighter tomorrow. Visit candowealth.com.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots. I'm James Heal and I'm joined today by Katie Balls and Kate Andrews. Now, Katie, it's Monday morning. What can we expect to see when the Chancellor stands up on Wednesday afternoon to deliver the long-awaited budget?
So I think what's interesting is if we rewind the clock back to the beginning of the year, the spring budget was seen as a potentially game-changing moment for the Tory party. There's always scepticism one event can do something so great. And you had Rishi Sunak talking about a gear shift on taxation. You had Jeremy Hunt likening himself to Nigel Lawson, saying he's taking inspiration there, the tax-slashing former chancellor. You come to this weekend, Jeremy Hunt appearing on the Sunday show where he said, I do like Nigel Lawson, but I probably am going to be a bit more prudent Gordon Brown when it comes to Wednesday. While, of course, much of this is expectation management, I think does tell you something about how hopes in CCHQ and number 10 and number 11 had started off at the beginning of the year quite high, that you would potentially have inflation coming down quite quickly, rate cuts, which the markets were pricing into, that which would allow them to have more headroom to do some of these things they wanted. I think the dream would have been 2p off income tax, to now getting to potentially throwing inheritance tax too, if they could do the basics of what they wanted in terms of those big sweeping tax cuts, you could do some extra things there too. Moving to now, where I think things are tighter than they expected, and you now have a situation where I think it's still possible you perhaps get a 2p national insurance cut. Income tax is something which I think they thought was easier to communicate to the public and also helps pensioners, which is clearly a key vote, but is looking expensive. But in order to make one of these things possible, looking at potentially curbing spending from 2025 onwards when it comes to government departments. So there's supposed to be a 1% increase. Could that increase be reduced to 0.75? That would be something for then a spending review, probably by the next government, to work out how exactly you're going to do it. But I think that's probably one of the easier options, because it's effectively, given if we look at the polls out today suggesting the Tories are on for complete wipeout, it's not really a problem for the next Tory government. It'd be a problem for Labour, and it would free up more for the Tories now. And then questions about a potential move to almost go after the wealthy in various ways. So potentially, you know, increase in cost to business class for flights, non-dom status. We talked previously, some changes there. I think that's more of a long form thing they've been thinking about. And then also looking at second homes. So all those measures together. And I think that some of these measures won't bring in huge amounts, but it does mean I don't think this is going to be the simple, all good news pre-election giveaway that MPs were hoping for and that number 10 were hoping for a few months ago.
Kate, I mean, this budget's been called the Tesco budget in some ways, the Every Little Helps budget, by being about lots of small tax increases on things like air passenger duty, potential non-domicile residents, in order to pay for one big 2p national insurance cut, as Katie talks about there. You're quite critical of this approach. Tell us why.
Look, the big thing I'm looking for on Wednesday is what's happening to the overall tax burden. That's not to say that the specific tax cuts don't matter. They very much do. And I think the Tory party is right to try to have the biggest tax cut for the most number of people, especially looking at workers there, because I do agree with the general sentiment that that is a bit more of a pro-growth initiative. But are they really cutting tax, or are they giving with one hand and taking with another? And that's what came out of the autumn statement last year, because the Tory party, right after Jeremy Hunt's announcements, sent out this tweet, you know, we're cutting tax, that's what conservatives do. If you actually broke down the numbers from the Office for Budget Responsibility, they were not cutting tax. The tax burden, which was set to hit a post-war high, was still on track to meet a post-war high. It did not budge. What became very clear is that because of the many stealth taxes that the Tory government has brought in, particularly this freeze on tax thresholds, pulling millions of people into paying tax, pulling millions of people into paying the higher rate of tax, they were getting more money in tax receipts, and then they were giving it back in other ways. It's been my opinion for a while that if the Tories really want to say they're slashing tax in this spring budget, they need to address the tax burden. It needs to start to fall. It's still going to be at a near record high. That's still going to have happened under a Tory government. But at least the narrative would be consistent and fair to say we're doing something about it. And I think what you're seeing in the papers this morning, to Katie's point, as she just said there as well, they're looking at where they can raise more money. There's also been talk about a tax on vapes, which is particularly strange given the fact that they're trying to crack down on smoking rates in particular with some other public policy. Vapes are a very helpful tool to help people quit smoking. But they're talking about a tax on vapes to raise more money. They're trying to find millions here and millions there to add up to billions to allow for another cut to national insurance. Is that really going to move the dial with voters? We didn't see it move the dial after the autumn statement. The polls didn't move at all, basically. But I think even more importantly, is that really going to convince people that there's a major difference between the Tory party and the Labour party in the next parliament? Are you really looking at a Conservative party going back to its roots, trying to pursue a leaner, smaller state? Or are you looking at one that just grabbed money from wherever it could to pull together a few election giveaways around tax leading up to a general election? That's not a paradigm shift. That's not a vision for the country. It looks a bit desperate. So, and I think we're going to be able to see what their real agenda is when we look at that tax burden figure.
Obviously, Katie, every chancellor stands up at the dispatch box and always says, I'm on the side of working people, as if anyone would ever say the opposite. But what you mentioned there about the importance of targeting different voters in terms of keeping that Conservative electoral coalition together, who do you really think is this budget is going to be for when Jeremy Hunt makes his speech on Wednesday?
So I think they're still trying to frame it around growth, and that's why the national insurance tax cut has always been a bit more likely, though I think there's a stronger argument for that rather than income tax if you are making the growth argument. If you are making the election giveaway argument, I think there's a stronger argument for income tax because it is easier, I think, to sell to the public. It affects more people. And also Rishi Sunak did say he was going to do it. He said he was going to do it pre-Liz Truss mini-budget, but it would still be quite helpful to say, I said I'd do it, I've started doing it, here's what I'll do next. And if you go back to the autumn statement where they did do that 2p tax cut, to Kate's point, they didn't really get much credit for it. I don't think you saw an electoral bounce in terms of the polls. And you know, figures in the Treasury will deny that they were disappointed or annoyed they didn't get much bang for their buck, so to speak, by having that. But I think there is a sense that it was pretty expensive, and yet, Why didn't it lead to much? And of course, you get back to fiscal drag and Kate's point. The problem is you have a Tory party and a Tory government, to be more precise, that is trying to tell a good story on the economy for re-election at a time when it's a pretty mixed picture on the economy. So I think we could both sit here, and I personally, not to advertise rivals, took part in the Bloomberg interactive quiz when you get to do your own budget, recommend to all. And I got quite nice feedback. They said they thought I would get through the day on press headlines with my decisions. whereas a friend of mine did it and was told that the tabloids would go after her because she was going to let fuel duty go up, which was a brave move, one would call it. What I mean is, from James, it's not as though there's a fantastic budget option that Jeremy Hunt and Richard haven't thought of, that the three of us could say, well, this is what they're doing wrong here. Kate might disagree, and with her wisdom as economics editor, might be able to tell hers in a moment. But, you know, there's just very limited options. And therefore, you might say, well, why are the Tories trying to fight on the economy rather than anything else? Like, what else have they got? The way we got to this point is more ruling out other things. They can't really fight on boats right now because they don't know what is happening with boats when it comes to, obviously, the response to the Supreme Court verdict, the fact they've had to go through a new Rwanda plan that's divided the Tories, not united them. When it comes to other issues and other messages, you know, you've got the don't go step back on the plan. But I think where I think Rishi Sunak looks probably stronger is the fact he is a former chancellor. He is probably trusted on the economy, obviously Labour lead on various issues, and that is a place to go. But how much is there really to point to with this budget? And I think we're in a week now where there's lots of feverish speculation of, will they go early? And there was, I was amused at least by a Labour briefing to the Financial Times over the weekend, which said, after May, there is only danger. So for what? I think there's danger now too in going to the polls, if we're being honest. You know, it's not as low. March, April, you look at the polls, like, look, as you know, a complete dream for the Tory party. In fact, according to the polls, you'd go down to historic defeat. Hence why I think we're probably more likely leaning into the hang on and hope something turns up, the George Galloway victory on Friday, not being something I think that's going to swing the next election in the slightest, but is another example of, you know, events which are tricky for Labour as opposed to just problems for the Tories. I really don't think, but I'm happy to have people repeat this back to me if I'm wrong, that the Tories are going to call an election when we're in a technical recession, presuming, you know, of course, if we just stay in one up until the point, then that's a different matter. But if there is an option of going early at the time we're now in a recession, I don't think that is seen as a good way to fight the election. And that's why I think people are getting a little bit excited right now.
I agree with Katie on basically every account, certainly on the...
Let's have you on every day.
Just a little pat on the back. Certainly in terms of when an election might be, why would you want to go to the polls when it's not confirmed yet that the country is out of the technical recession? The UK went into it at the end of last year. We've almost certainly discovered that as we're coming out of it. You know, this is based on if growth in Q3 had been 0.1%, bigger, we wouldn't be in technical recession. You know, we're so at the margin here. But the point is, why would you choose to do that before you know that you're actually out of it? Also, the Bank of England, when inflation returns to target, hopefully this spring, may start a slow and steady process of cutting interest rates. If you are a government with a public struggling from interest rates, the kinds of which we haven't seen for a very long time, then you're going to be desperate to have interest rates go down before you go to the polls. But I think Katie makes a really important point there about what is the ideal budget. Could we possibly come up with something more palatable? And, you know, you could get very ideological and you could go in multiple directions. You could say, well, obviously we could just cut a quarter of state spending. Or you could say, well, obviously we just hike taxes and, you know, go, you know, full fat socialism like some other European countries. What's politically possible is what we're actually talking about. And people keep talking about the rabbit out of the hat in the budget as if this is a matter of political will. If they just want it enough, they'll be able, they'll be able to pull the rabbit out of the hat. Let's remember why Chancellor Rishi Sunak was able to be so generous. Interest rates were on the floor at a record low. The Bank of England was printing money. The government was happy to spend it. There were no limits on what he could do during the pandemic. So when people said, oh, you know, is he going to be a bit more generous with the triple lock here, benefits there, what's it going to be? He was always able to say yes. Jeremy Hunt's working in very different economic conditions. Interest rates are significantly higher than anybody ever predicted in March 2020. He is dealing with an economy that has struggled to bounce back from the pandemic. Does the government have a role to play in some of that? Yes. And they certainly made the decision to print and spend money like there was no tomorrow, which very much contributed to the inflation saga that we've all been subject to. I'm not trying to say it's not their fault. I'm just saying that... some of those factors are out of their control and the situation is most certainly different. So Jeremy Hunt is desperately trying to deliver something. And I think where the government's gone so wrong isn't necessarily with every little detail about the economy, as I said, much of which they can't control. It's about the narrative that they were building up just 6 weeks ago when you had the Prime Minister and the Chancellor writing in the Sunday papers promising that big tax cuts were ahead. You know, you haven't seen anything yet. This is when all the good stuff finally happens. That was kind of the selling point of Rishi Sunak's premiership, right? We're going to make tough decisions in 2023. You're going to see the payoff in 2024. The real difficulty for Jeremy Hunt this week, and certainly for the Prime Minister, is what if what they did improve the public finances marginally, but wasn't enough to get that big payoff? Can you then go to the electorate and say, well, give us another parliament and then you'll see it? Will people buy that? That's a really tough sell.
Thanks, Kate. Thanks, Katie. And thank you for listening to Copy Our Shots.